We in there now.
All right. Look at that.
I could see it tracking. We got the mic turned up. We're learning things as we go here, folks. And we don't know much.
We're all set up now.
We're pretty much professionals, just nobody's paying us.
Yeah, I think that's the definition of professional, though. So
I'll give you $10, you give me $5, we'll call it even. You gotta say yes to that.
Yeah, I had to do the math real quick.
And make sure I'm not fucking you.
I thought you were. Shouldn't have paused on that.
I know where you keep your fives, so I'll end up with two of them eventually.
Fair enough.
He's got a separate box for his fives. It's weird.
You got a problem with that?
No, it works for me. Yeah, so we're waiting on the weather to change, I guess.
Yeah, it's been shitty out. It's not any worse than it has been, but now that I see the end of the bad weather, I want nothing else than to just wait for the good weather to show up.
And by bad weather, he means it's been kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, we come from Connecticut where it gets cold.
Yeah.
But he's been up here for what? Down here for 2 years now, and he's like, oh no, 40 degrees, fuck that.
Bullshit. I moved out of the Connecticut for a reason, and most of that was for the winter.
Yeah.
I don't like the winter. People down here will wear less clothing than I do when it's cold out. I'm like, you dumbasses.
It's cold. Put on layers, bitch. Yeah. I don't really care either way. I don't mind the cold. I really don't.
What's wrong with you?
I'm just a tougher guy than you. You're a little bit of a pussy, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep. He's soft.
How'd you do in the summer?
Summer's South Carolina. Fine. Summer's fine.
Yeah.
I like mowing the lawn when I get real sweaty.
I like that too, actually. Mowing the lawn is like, it's a weird kind of exercise, especially the way I do it, because I mow as fast as I possibly can. Till the mower stops cutting the grass, I'll just keep upping the speed.
Yep.
So I get real sweaty.
Yeah, that's usually my goal too, try and find the limit of the mower there. And
which reminds me, I gotta sharpen the blade on the mower because it's not cutting grass for shit anymore.
That's because you mow too fast.
You know it.
Oh boy, that would be something.
Yeah. I wore the Fitbit one time when I mowed the lawn just to see what it would say.
Yeah.
And my heart rate, I believe it was above 130 the whole time.
Holy crap, you're really hustling.
Yeah, I move it.
Yeah. He's got the brakes on too.
Yeah, I just hold the brakes. You know.
Keep the brakes on.
No, I got a shitty ass push mower. There are no brakes.
Well, we just had a snowstorm.
Yeah.
That for sure is some bad weather, especially coming up on April now.
Yeah.
And what was it? We got like a half an inch or something.
Oh, we got way more than that.
More than that?
Yeah, because the grass was covered when I got up in the morning.
Yeah, and it happened in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, it just came and dropped down.
Yeah, because when I went to bed that night, there was, I don't think it was snowing, but it was dark out. There was no accumulation on the ground.
Right.
And then I got up in the morning and I looked outside and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I drove, I brought some people from work to their house because they had this little car and, you know, bitches be freaking out. But I popped the truck in four-wheel drive and chugged right along, and I still couldn't believe I was sliding on the back roads. And, you know, it was an impressive amount of snow, and it was wet underneath. Near freezing, so there were probably some icy patches.
That's the thing down here. They don't treat the roads the way they treat them up in Connecticut. We hate the salt, and, you know, it ruins the cars and all that, but it does keep the roads a lot better for driving.
Yeah,
I didn't realize how much it changed it.
Yeah, it's definitely, there's merit in their freaking out over a little bit of snow.
Yeah.
But I will always laugh at it.
Yeah.
Because I remember drifting the Mustang. Yeah. You know, 40 miles an hour around a sweeping corner in the snow.
You mean that was slow for what we did?
Yeah, we were chugging.
Yeah. I remember there was one time where we went out just legitimately rally racing. Racing nobody, but we were going as fast as we could.
Yeah.
In the Mustang. That was fun. That was scary for me. I was in the passenger seat.
Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to be you.
Yeah, no. It wasn't fun, especially on the braking. You were braking at the limit as well as accelerating and drifting.
Yeah, that was the best times of my life, though. Yeah. I will miss the snow for that one reason. Rear-wheel drive, just enough horsepower to get the job done.
And all the torque. Yeah.
And the real trick is the tires.
Yeah, you got good tires.
That's it.
Yep.
Then you're good to go. Keep them studs. Because you're braking and you hit ice, you want studs. Yeah.
And narrow tires are good, too. That's one thing people don't think about. In the snow, the more narrow the tire, the better.
Right.
If you can get a real narrow winter tire, you're going to do a lot better in the snow because it'll dig down through the snow
easier. Cut right through it.
Yeah. Rather than having a wide tire.
You learned this lesson with your 370, yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, it was just rain. I was just driving in the rain, and holy damn, that thing was hydroplaning on puddles that weren't even puddles, man. It was nuts. Should not have been going 70 on the highway.
And that's why the Jetta rocks. I got slicks on it, but it's tires are like razor blades.
B tires.
They cut right into the ground. So even though they're worn to shit, it doesn't really go too far.
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely looking to get some new tires, though, because driving around on slicks is not ideal.
No.
No.
That car in general is not ideal anymore.
What do you mean? It's great.
It's got a shifter that I like into, like, when you're dreaming. You know how when you're dreaming, if you drive manual, when you dream of driving a manual car, you can kind of just put the gear shifter where you want it, and it just goes into that gear.
The one you're thinking of?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, just whichever one you pick, it doesn't really matter where you are. That's how that shifter is. You pretty much just add that direction.
Yep.
And it goes. And it's in the right gear. It just is.
Yeah, and the truck's nothing like that. I drive the truck around. I'm like, where's fourth? It's here. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, especially there's a speed that you have to drive, that you have to shift the truck at, and it is extremely slow.
It is so slow.
Yeah, very slow shifts in the truck. You pretty much, you wait for it to do its thing. It's in no rush.
You let the truck dictate.
Yeah.
The
when
Jetta,
would you like to go into the next gear?
I can tell the Jetta what we're going to do. Sometimes it disagrees, but I can tell it what to do.
But ultimately, it will comply.
It will do anything except when I really try to make it go fast. It won't do that.
It doesn't do
that.
No. It's like an old man.
Yeah. It's geared low enough to chug up a hill in third at like 2,000 RPM. It'll do that.
Yeah.
But it won't go fast.
I think you got some engine problems.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's fine.
The check engine light doesn't mean anything.
What check engine light?
The one that's on.
I taped over that.
Oh.
Can't see it.
Like a true Volkswagen driver.
Yep. No, I'm pretty sure you're right, and I'm hoping it's catalytic converter. I think it's choked up and having trouble breathing.
Yep. Or it thinks it's choked up somehow. Did you change the O2?
No. Sensors work. Everybody wants to change the sensor. Oh, I'm getting a check engine light. My sensor must be broken. Or there's a problem and your sensor's letting you know.
Mm. A lot of the times it's the sensor that went.
That. I'm just going to change the cat.
Is it running rich?
Yeah.
Or lean?
It's running rich.
If it's running rich, it could be the O2 sensor.
Yeah.
In all honesty, yeah. My Jetta had that trouble. It's a classic problem.
I hate those things.
Why?
Because they're always rusted in.
Yeah. You gotta be smart, like our friend Ryan. he changed the O2 sensor in his truck, and when he put the new one in, he put silicone around it, sealed it in. High temp silicone, obviously.
Yeah.
But then it's never gonna rust. All you gotta do is scrape that silicone off so you can get the wrench on there.
Well,
it'll come right off.
I guess we got a project. So if we do end up having Easter Sunday, folks, Easter Sunday's coming up and we might not have to work.
Maybe.
Maybe that's what we'll do.
Okay.
I'll
works for me.
I'll get an O2 sensor tomorrow, or at least get one ordered so we can have it by Sunday.
Yeah, call. There's a few auto places around here. Call them all. Someone might just have them.
True.
It's a very common car.
Yeah, and a common part for it. Because, like I said, anybody gets a check engine. This is my problem here. We had a friend who was working on an Audi and a Saab, and he had a couple of really cool cars. But he was doing custom work. And anytime you get a check engine light, the first thing he did was replace sensors.
Yeah.
And I started recognizing that, okay, your sensors are working. But you don't want to believe that.
Yeah.
They're working. They're telling you there's a problem. But instead of fixing the problem, you're changing the sensor.
But there's a big difference there, because when you're changing so much of an engine, the parameters are going to change.
True.
And so the sensor, it makes sense that the sensor would still be working in that case.
Yeah.
But in this case, with a stock vehicle where nothing really should have changed, and it still could be the catalytic converter, fact that it's running rich makes you think that it's an O2 giving a false reading.
We're talking about 170,000 miles on it now?
Yeah.
It's something like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if the cat was clogged.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. But if it's clogged, it's probably because it's been running rich.
Right. Yeah,
so
the O2 sensor could be doing that.
Yeah.
In which case, we could always just pound a hole in it, like the Ford Ranger that I had.
Yeah.
That was fun as hell, especially because once in a while, after I pounded like 3 holes through that cat, and it ran a lot better after that. But the issue was that once in a while, a piece of that cat would break off and start rattling around in there, and I'd have to just rev it out so it would shoot that thing out of there.
Did that have, that didn't have a muffler, did it?
Not anymore.
Right. They're pretty strict about that here.
No.
No?
Not really.
I saw it on your checklist from your vehicle inspection.
Yeah.
There was a category for catalytic converter tampering.
Really?
They check for that, yeah.
They didn't check for that.
No?
No. Not the guy that I went to.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Yeah, we don't have any emission. Wait, was that on the 370?
Truck.
The truck? Yeah, he didn't check that. It's not an emissions inspection. It's a, I forget what kind of inspection they call it, but it's just to make sure your vehicle's roadworthy. So they check to make sure your signals work, your horn works, your headlights, taillights, all that stuff.
Okay.
And then they check for some other weird things in the engine, like a PCV valve, an EGR.
Oh, yeah.
Which was funny as hell because the dude goes, I'm not seeing that in there. And I'm like, what are you looking for? He goes, EGR. I'm like, is it that right there? He goes, oh, yeah, yep, you got one of those. And he goes, yeah, but you don't have a PCV valve. And I'm like, what's a PCV valve again? He goes, well, it's the breather for the valve cover. I'm like, oh, you mean that right there? He's like, oh, yeah, you got that tucked away in the back there. I'm like, face palm. Like, are you serious, dude?
It's your first time, isn't it?
It's a 2000 Ford F-150. It's got a PCV valve on it.
Yeah.
It's not an 80-something.
Well,
even if it was.
That is the kind of truck that looks like it has a bunch of custom work done to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks fast.
Oh,
it looks really fast.
With the racing stripes?
The racing stripes. Just a little bit of rust that says, yes, I get used.
I get used.
Yep. Those custom rims. Did you put those rims on there?
No, it came with them.
Those rims.
Nice. Yeah. Nice rims.
They're like some drag rims.
Yeah.
You know? That's what those are.
Them high horsepower rims.
You know? And it's got a toolbox. Just in case anyone's wondering, it's got a toolbox.
With nothing in it.
Which is a weight reduction. You might not believe it, but it is.
Weight reduction?
I filled it with helium yesterday.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
Word up. That's going to leak out.
No.
Yeah.
No, I sealed it with that silicone, the same stuff we're going to use for the valve, for the O2 sensor
smart,
on the Jetta.
Smart. Yeah. Don't ever open that up.
Don't ever.
Yeah.
And if you do, you'll end up talking like the Lucky Charms guy.
We should put a cap over the back, fill that with helium.
Ooh.
Make that rear end even more light.
Yeah, burnouts for days.
What we'll do is we'll fill it with helium, but then we'll put sand in it.
Mm.
And then...
Or... fill the whole thing with nitrous oxide and always run nitrous everywhere forever.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, when I changed the my insurance on the motorcycle, they asked me if I had done modifications to it. And I was like, no, it's bone stock. And he goes, oh, okay, so no nitrous, no turbos, no superchargers. I'm like, dude, no. Like, that's not, first of all, that's not the first thing you do. Like, have you modified it at all? Any nitrous? Any turbos? Like, what are you talking about, dude?
I mean, maybe an intake filter.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You should ask for an exhaust first. If I say okay to that, then be like, all right, nitrous?
Yeah.
You know?
No, I'm running the stock exhaust, but I've got twin turbos on the bitch.
Like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Yeah, I got a ZX14, but it wasn't quite fast enough, so I put nitrous and turbos on it.
Dude, it's a thing.
It is. I know.
I can get a turbo kit installed on that for under $3,500.
What are you doing right now?
I'm wondering.
On your way?
Yeah, it brings it up over 300 horse. Yeah. That's an H2R killer right there.
Your motorcycle already has more power than my car.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm rocking about 80 horses right now.
Yep. Yeah. Right now?
Yeah, probably. Right now.
Yeah. My motorcycle has the same horsepower as my truck. Minus a little bit of torque.
Could you pull the truck with the motorcycle?
No, definitely not.
Bullshit, but you could.
It doesn't have that torque.
You don't need that torque. You got a wet clutch.
You
use the horsepower.
That's a lot of clutch work right there.
Use the horse. Well, once you're rolling, you're good. I'll give the truck a push. We'll see how far you can go
from
there.
Keep her up around $4,000.
Do not stop.
Because the truck will run you over. The brakes aren't good.
No, terrible.
Yeah. They're not fun.
We're going to fix that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I definitely need to tighten the brake cable in the Jetta.
For the parking brake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It slipped the other day.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. suddenly can pull it further than I could before.
Okay.
Yep.
That's something to look into.
Which, once we figure out how to do that on the Jetta, probably need to do exactly the same thing to the truck.
I've looked at it on the truck.
It's pretty
easy. It's more difficult than it looks.
Nah.
I think once we change the rotors and pads, because the pads are pretty low,
it'll tighten up.
It might.
Okay.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Or we might be able to adjust it from there. But just looking at it real quick without taking rims off or anything, it wasn't self-explanatory.
Gotcha.
I thought I was going to do it in 5 minutes, yeah. And I looked in there, and it was not that easy.
I've heard people say you can go in reverse and then press it, and it tightens itself up.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, have you ever heard anybody say that?
No.
I don't believe them. I think they're saying that to trick people who don't know.
That could be a drum brake thing.
Maybe.
Drum brakes are very weird.
Okay.
They have a memory of some sort. So if you're really hard on drum brakes a lot, they will be tighter and, like, more responsive.
Why don't we always use drum brakes?
Because they suck.
But that sounds like a great reason to stay at the limit.
They fade much quicker.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But they're better for towing.
Yeah, because of that. Because of the memory. So if you got a lot of weight on and you brake a couple times. Thing is, it helps to change the bias, right?
Oh, okay.
So if you're towing and you got a lot of weight on your rear end, then you're going to use more rear brakes, and the drums will compensate for that automatically after you hit the brakes a couple times.
Just by the mechanical function of them?
I'm not sure. I've never opened them up or anything like that, but that's why they like those.
I heard of something, say, 2-3 days ago that I'd never heard before, bulletproofing a transmission. You ever heard of this process?
No, what's it mean?
Titanium gears.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it makes sense once it was explained. I kind of bullshitted my way through it.
Yeah.
Because the person who was talking to me said, I saw the paperwork and it had a bulletproof transmission. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay. Just thinking, you know, it was a new car and there was no issue.
Yeah.
But that was actually a custom job called bulletproofing that was done. So now I need to look into that because it's got me curious. This was something that was done to an SUV. We're not even talking about a truck.
Not that a sounds dually, silly.
Not a diesel, just an SUV.
That they're going to use for towing?
They
or
must
something?
Have been planning. Yeah, I guess.
I don't know why you would put titanium gears and something like
that. I don't know why you wouldn't. Titanium everything. Shit looks great when it gets hot.
Good point.
Yeah, so that had me curious. And then he also said that the car was sold with a freshly bulletproofed transmission. Private seller, private party. And the person who purchased it didn't change the brake-in oil or brake-in fluid. And because of that, the transmission burnt up.
That sounds like BS.
It doesn't sound real to me.
Yeah, that sounds like BS to me.
I don't understand that. Like, what kind of oil do you have so that if you go more than 500 miles with titanium gears, they disintegrate?
Okay. How long did it take for that to happen? Because if you're talking about going 750 miles instead of 500, I'm sure that happens all the time.
Even 1500 miles, it just doesn't make sense to me.
And brake-in oil, I'm pretty sure, is just slightly thicker for more protection. And the only reason you drain it after 500 miles is because there could potentially be pieces of metal in it.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe there was junk in the fluid, and because it wasn't changed out, it tore the transmission up.
If that's the case, then it wasn't because he didn't change the fluid. There was something wrong with the transmission to begin with.
Possible.
Because it's more of a fail-safe.
Yeah.
If there's junk in your oil after that first oil change, besides some very minuscule pieces, it means something's wrong and you got to look at it. That's why you change it. You don't change it to get that crap out of there and then keep going.
Yeah. Maybe I should do that MAF spray too.
Mass airflow sensor.
Yeah, do the basics on the Jetta. I haven't done any maintenance.
A tune-up.
I bought it for $1,000 and just started driving it.
Yeah.
Really didn't care. But now I'm looking at it thinking, hey, if I could get 220 out of it, I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, what we should do before you go and buy an O2 sensor is, are there one or two on there?
I'm guessing two. It's an 05.
Usually there's at least two.
Yeah, there should be a pre and post cat.
Yeah. And what we can do is unplug them one at a time while it's idling and see if the engine changes. And if it doesn't change at all, then you can be pretty sure that one isn't working.
It has failed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we could try that before you order it. That's a quick quick thing to check.
Yeah.
And I remember doing that with mine, and it was like definitive. There was one that changed the way the engine ran it instantly, and then the other one did nothing.
Huh. Okay.
So.
Is that just a plug, or do I have to unscrew it?
No, no, you just unplug it.
Where is the plug?
I don't know. We'll figure
it out. Is it up in the engine bay?
Yeah.
Oh, so we don't even have to put it on a lift.
No, pop the hood. Mm.
We might have time after this podcast, because
I'd
like to, I want to get on it. Because the car, there's really, it's a sweet car.
It should be silly to waste it. Little as low powered as it is.
No.
How fast have you gotten it? Have you tried to go fast in it?
I tapped triple digits.
Did you?
Yeah, it took a little while, but it's, it the gearing, man. I mean, if I'm rocking 80, I'm at almost 4 grand.
Yeah. But here's the thing. In my 99 Jetta, 2-point slow, I hit 115. And it had 220,000 miles on it.
Do you smell that? Do you smell that? I smell a challenge.
Go for it. I'm just saying, I feel like I can remember my Jetta having more power than that. And that's a newer car, so it should have at least a couple more horsepower, or
I have,
at the very least the same.
I have to agree. I feel like it's underpowered. Yeah. You know, it struggles. Actually, I know that there's... It's almost a misfire. I can't say for sure that it is, but when you accelerate hard up over 3,000 RPM, it stumbles on itself. It's
It could be the wrong air fuel ratio.
Yeah.
Because the throttle response is not there either.
No, it's junk.
That's the worst, and it's such a small engine. It should be moderately responsive. You know.
Yeah, we'll have to dick around with that.
Yeah.
I like the idea.
We'll take a look at it.
Dreams. We've had this topic on our mind.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a subtle segue.
Segues are cool.
Especially when they're smooth.
When they're not smooth. Ooh. I prefer heavy bumps in the conversation.
Ba-doom, ba-doom.
Yeah. So, do you remember your dream?
Wow. No, they slip away, don't they? Even when you've talked about them.
Not if...
The one with the mowing the rug. I remember that one.
Yeah.
I had a dream that I was working at the shoe store, which is my last job, and they told me it was time to leave, and I said, okay, but I have to finish up this one thing. And I walked into a basement that was more or less the layout of the first basement I remember in North Canaan, Connecticut. So we're going back in time in this dream, but I was still myself, and there was a rug with some grass growing up through it, and I needed to use this tool that was a combination of a lawnmower and a vacuum cleaner. So it was vacuuming the rug and mowing the grass that was growing through the rug. And so that all made perfect sense, you know, dream space. But the thing that had me curious was I didn't wake up until I had completed mowing and cleaning the rug. So I did two outside sweeps to make the perimeter wide enough to turn around. And then I did all the lines back and forth. I used my exact mowing technique that I always use. And the second I finished mowing, I came to. I woke up.
That's an interesting one, because when they said, it's time to go, and you said, okay, but I got to finish this first, it seems like you're getting ready to move on to something better.
Yeah.
But you realize that you got to keep on the grind.
I could see that. You know, it's always been on my mind. Not always, but since probably 2 or 3 years ago, I started thinking about finances and money and the rat race, if you will.
Yeah.
And how to get up out of it. And it's one of those things where you know you're losing the game, and you're sure there's a way to turn it around, but you just have to take the time to do it.
Yeah.
And it makes sense.
Yeah. The scary thing is, you know, a lot of people say, you know, I can't do this job forever. And that's the wrong way to think about it, because the problem is you can absolutely do this job forever.
Mm.
That's a possibility. You look at some lifers, people who have been working all their lives, they didn't think they were going to do that job forever when they started. But it's such an easy possibility. All you have to do is nothing else.
Right.
And then you do that job.
Yeah.
Or you change jobs and you feel better about yourself for a couple of years because you got a dollar raise.
Yo, yeah, so a new position, new title.
Yeah.
Some new bullshit.
That's the scary thought that I always have, is it's too easy to do that job forever, you know? That's what makes me nervous. I'm always afraid that I'm going to get stuck with that.
Yep. Yeah, but I'm not afraid of that because I just don't worry. The only thing I'm worried about is the right now. And sometimes that screws me, but when it comes to grinding like we're grinding right now, I mean, I've got no qualms about working every single day.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me. I hear so many people complaining about it. I'm sure there's going to be a point where it gets on my nerves. But right now, in my mind, I am just set to go. I got nothing else happening. If I take a day off, what am I going to do? Drink
nothing.
Some beers?
Yeah.
I might as well work and make money rather than spend it.
Yeah.
You know? And you figure you make enough money, you find investments, and what, 20, 30 years? I'm hoping 20 or 30 years I should be able to at least stabilize myself to where I don't need to work. I want to always work.
Yeah.
But I don't want to have to work.
You want to do what you want to do, though.
Yeah.
Like, this job that both of us have right now isn't that bad.
No.
It's easy enough, and it pays well enough.
And it's a decent company.
Yeah. But it's not, like, dream job.
No.
Like, it'll never be like, oh, I can't wait to go to work today.
What is the dream job?
I don't know.
Gunsmithing?
That's a hard one.
Gunsmithing.
Mm.
Maybe?
Not really.
No.
That's still a job.
Too tedious?
It's a good job, but it's still a job. There's nothing wrong with it. Like, I might do some of that on the side. What I would really like to do is have a machine shop at my disposal.
Yes.
For whatever I want to do with it.
Yep.
But that requires a lot of money. That's not a garage project, because you need some serious power to run a lathe and a milling machine.
Yeah.
They're not 120.
And ideally, you'd want to have like a crew of 3 or 4 people, so you wouldn't have to do all the work. You could set them in motion.
Now you're getting extravagant. No, I like manual machining.
Yeah.
There's a joy to that.
You'd rather do it yourself.
And it's, I don't want to brag, but I'm really good at it. I can do shit that people go, "What'd you do that on? A lathe? Which lathe? The one over there? That piece of shit lathe? Yeah, that one."
Yeah, man, I'm really hoping that I can get into Tool and Die, and ideally, I'd like to be your apprentice.
Dude, that would be dope.
That would be fucking dope.
I wish
anybody could
do that.
If anybody could teach me some shit, it's you.
Right?
We got that connection.
That would be sick.
We probably wouldn't have to talk half the time. You'd just point and grunt, and I'd be like, "All right, I'm on it."
Hell yeah.
Yup.
That would be the good right there. But we'll see what happens with
that.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not counting on that at all.
Yeah.
I just want to learn, but that would be fun as fuck.
The thing is, even if you do become an apprentice and you're not my apprentice or Nom's, like, you'd probably be on first shift.
Yeah.
But even if you did that, I could still talk to you about shit once you started learning, and it would help both of us to go over it.
Do they let the tool guys stay over for 12s?
You can pretty much always work as much as you want there, but I've never gotten yelled at for working too much overtime, but it depends on what you're doing too.
Right.
Especially like the first shift guys regularly stay late to finish projects or whatever.
Yeah.
The second and third shift, kind of, they're just there to keep the presses running. And if they have time, they do, you know, preventative maintenance on tools and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I usually work about 10 to 30 minutes of overtime every night. Nobody says anything.
Yeah.
And that's, I would work a few hours of overtime during the first shift when I was on first shift. Nobody would say anything about that.
Because I could, if I was working first shift and you're still working second, I got no trouble with these 12-hour days.
Yeah.
So I'd work that shift and then be there for half of your shift, and we could work together
to
some extent.
Yeah, we could talk about that with them if they would be down.
Because that's just more hours. The
yeah.
more hours I put in, the faster I hit master, right?
Yep.
You know? That's
exactly
what it's all about. It's all a numbers game, people. And that's something, you learn that now and remember that forever. There is nothing in this life you can't boil down to numbers.
Yeah.
And I'm not being crazy. That is for real. When you start searching at the limits of science and exploration right now, you go to quantum physics, it's all numbers.
They don't even understand those numbers yet, but it is still numbers.
They can perceive them. It's crazy. It really, like, when you listen to scientists talk about science And, you know, I'm, again, quantum physicists, the people who are at the limits right now of what's going on, it's probably because I don't have any education, but it sounds like another language. Yeah. I mean, they're tripping on something else.
Yeah. Well, see, here's what's funny to me is, you know, many years ago, I don't know dates or anything, but they used to think the atom was the smallest thing in the world, smallest piece of this earth.
Yep.
And then they found electrons and neutrons. And then they found whatever's below
quarks
that.
And gluons. And
now they're calling quantum the smallest pieces of the universe. And it's like, don't you see?
Yeah.
There's something smaller than that.
Well, how about the periodic table of elements? Why did they call them elements? Because they were the elemental particles.
Yeah.
But then we found out, wait, no, there's things smaller. So just, you know, from thinking that the planet was the center of the universe.
Yeah.
To saying, no, there's something else. Now we're kind of back to that.
Yep.
It depends on who you talk to. They'll go, hey, you know, this thing might be in the middle.
Yeah.
And we went, now we got people saying the Earth's flat. And I'll tell you what, they're probably right. I think it is. I think the Earth's flat.
Pretty sure on that?
Y'all are round Earth shills trying to tell me otherwise.
Yeah, because nobody flies around the world.
No, they fly in circles on a convex plane. It's you don't understand. You don't fly planes.
Can't even hang.
Look, if the world was round and truly spinning, you could get in a helicopter, fly straight up, and just stay in one place and let the world rotate underneath you.
That's the thing. That happens.
You're lying.
You know,
you're lying because it's flat.
You know how when rockets go straight up in the air and they look like they're turning?
Yeah.
They're not actually turning.
We are.
The Earth is turning.
Yeah.
And that's why when they send like shuttles up into space and stuff, or even rockets that go up high enough, they have to force them to turn a little bit, because otherwise when the Earth rotates, it'll change the direction of the rocket and it'll fly sideways rather than straight up.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but there is no outer space. There's a dome over the Earth.
Yeah.
Over this flat circle that we live on, there's a dome over
flat
it.
Flat circle.
And you can't, it's like a CD. It looks like a CD, you
know,
those old things that we used to use. But you can't actually go into space. The moon and the sun, they're like no more than 3,000 miles away from us.
Really?
Yeah, they're within the dome.
Is that why I get sunburned?
Yeah, because it's so close.
Oh,
the sun looks like a spotlight.
Okay,
wow. It's not millions of miles away. That's crazy.
It's not three times bigger than the Earth.
How far? If you turn on a flashlight and shine it at the wall, how far can you back up before the light just disappears? Okay.
You're killing me.
I'm serious. I've spent so much time. I've listened to so many flat Earth arguments because it's just the best comedy. They're not joking.
They're serious.
That's why it's funny. They really believe that the Earth's flat.
That's what makes it great.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
You want to walk them to the edge of the Earth and be like, jump.
Yeah. Show me. Show me the edge. The ice wall. That's what it is. The whole, all the waters, all the oceans, they're held together by the ice wall.
Oh, is that what it
is? Yeah, the Antarctic Circle.
Yeah.
That's the South Pole.
So when it warms up from global warming,
we're all going to die.
Wow, we're going to lose all our water.
Yeah.
Then
it's going
to
drain.
See what's at the bottom of the ocean.
That's true.
So
briefly.
Win-win.
Yep. And we don't have to worry about the sun dying out, because I'm pretty sure it's just an electrical light that hangs out in the, you know, near Earth.
We just
orbit.
Turn it off once in a while, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it spins in the circles on the plane and gets farther away from
Why
us.
Why does it get dark then?
Because it's a spotlight. It's not a floodlight. It's a spotlight.
Oh.
So it illuminates just a certain area
and it
spins around
wow.
the center. Yeah.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
You really dove deep into this.
Oh,
didn't you?
Real deep. Yeah. These guys are great. Yeah.
They got some good theories there.
Yep. Yep. And every video you've ever seen from an airplane or a rocket was taken with a camera that has a fisheye lens. That's why there's a curvature. There's no actual curvature to the Earth.
Oh.
Just nobody uses a regular camera. They're all using, you know, GoPros, fisheye lenses. Yep.
Wow. That's quite the theory.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that have been up into space, including an iPad.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not real. It's all fake.
Yeah.
It's just the government. There's lizard people.
Lizard people.
And they're messing with your mind.
Oh, God. I had a friend who was legitimately into lizard people at one point.
Did you really?
Yeah. Dylan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. He was pretty sure of it.
Yeah.
Of course, he did a lot of acid. And he got pretty sure of it directly after doing a lot of acid.
Well, acid really wakes you up to the truth of reality. And lizard people's one of those.
Yeah.
You know, they can change. Into they could what? Change right in front of you from people to lizards. It's not a costume. They're like shapeshifters.
He showed me a picture or a video of some politician who had like a mouth twitch.
Yeah.
And he was like, see, lizard.
Oh, he really?
Yeah, the mouth, like the tongue twitched. And it was the lizard, the inner lizard coming out.
Wow, I'm going to have to check that out. That sounds legit.
Yeah, it was pretty legit. It definitely wasn't just a nervous tic or anything.
No, politicians are very rarely nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
They're pretty much in charge of the world, so what do they have to worry about?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
They don't worry about anything.
I'll tell you what, there is an actual conspiracy theory that we should all be aware of.
An actual conspiracy
theory? It's an actual conspiracy. It's not a theory. It's right out in the open, and we all know about it. It's called the United Nations.
Yeah.
Yeah. One world government. All these people talking about the New World Order and how they're going to take over. You know what the United Nations is, right? It's all the countries coming together and saying, hey, let's make decisions together. That's one world government.
Except not everybody is in that.
Pretty much. It's almost all of them.
Most of them.
Yeah.
But not all of them.
I mean, who's not?
The problem also is that there's people in the United Nations who will stay out of conflicts that other countries have. So it's not really too united. It's just everybody talking. You know what I mean?
Well,
like everybody communicates with each other, but you know, if Korea has trouble with the U.S., then France is like, yeah, we're not getting involved in that.
That's true. That's
it's
true.
Kind of, it's weird the way they do that. It shouldn't. We should either be united or not. It shouldn't be called what it is.
I think that considering where we've come from, I mean, less than 100 years ago. We had 2 world wars right in a row.
Yeah.
We're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
We're doing pretty good.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely moving up.
Yeah. So that's all I'm saying. If you're worried about a new world order, just take a step back, look at the UN and ask yourself this question. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
It might be, you know?
It's already happening.
Yeah, it's there and it's okay. It's progress.
It seems to be working out.
Let's not fear progress.
Yeah. The best thing we can do is try to end the wars.
The best thing we could do is elect Eminem.
Eminem?
Yeah, the rap guy. No, not as president.
Oh.
In charge of the UN.
Oh, okay.
Make me king as we move toward a new world order.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. He would be the guy.
Mm. I don't think so.
Why not?
I don't know if I want a dude rapping at me like that.
He does get a little aggressive.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a little belligerent at times.
But belligerence could be good.
Mm. Not for the United Nations.
It's gotten us pretty far. It has. I mean, belligerence is basically the operating principle of America. And America, if you ask anybody around here, America rules the world. We are in charge. We're the best ever.
We're the best around.
Yo, I don't know, man. It's a crazy, crazy world, but I think that between the flat earth problems and the lizard people running everything, we got more to worry about than we ever really consider. You know, and we're over here talking about truck brakes and O2 sensors, but really, the lizard people might eat us any day.
Yeah, but you can't worry about that kind of thing.
Yeah, I can't really control them.
Yeah, no.
You think a 12 gauge with some buckshot would put a lizard person down?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah?
Right in the eye.
Right in the eye.
Right in the third eye.
The third eye, the one in the middle.
Yeah, the one that's all calcified.
from drinking all the fluoride.
Nah, it's the beer. It's the beer that does it.
Nah, beer opens the third eye up.
Does it?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I start definitely feeling pretty philosophical after a couple beers.
Do you?
Yeah, philosophically ready to shit. It
takes about 4 beers for me to have to shit.
Yep. That sounds about right. More so the next day than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tomorrow problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem for tomorrow me.
I'm not worried about that tonight.
So, my dream last night.
Yes.
My dream was not good. It was not okay. Tell me what you can get out of this. So, I was in a family, okay? Now, I was not me. I was a little girl, okay? I don't know why. That has no bearing on the situation at all, except for the fact that I had long hair.
Okay.
So that's how I knew I was a little girl.
All right.
And the mother of this family was going nuts. She kept saying things like, someone's going to get hurt. and she was like terrified that somebody was gonna get hurt. And then I opened the door to her bedroom, and she was killing what she thought was her son, but it was actually a puppet.
She was murdering a puppet.
She thought it was her infant son.
Oh.
That she was stabbing.
Wow.
She was bawling her eyes out. But it was a puppet. Yeah.
Okay.
Makes sense out of that.
That's a little out there.
I got some problems.
That's some dreams, dude.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
So you're a little girl with an insane mother who tries to kill...
Who was telling everybody that someone was going to get hurt and nobody listened to her.
And she was the one doing the hurt.
Yeah.
Oh my.
But she didn't like, she sounded really distraught. Like she was afraid, you know, I'm afraid someone's going to get hurt. We need to, she was asking the husband to, you know, stay home and, you know, I don't feel right. Something's not right. And then I opened the door to her bedroom and she's just bawling, stabbing a puppet.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think you should be writing books. I don't know if we need to make sense of that.
It's not okay. I don't know.
I mean, the first question would be, why did you perceive yourself as a young girl?
I think that has something to do with innocence.
Okay.
I don't know why, but like...
So...
If I was me in the dream, would have done something.
Yep.
But being a little girl, I was just observing
what happened. You were an observer.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was a big family. It was like a family of like 4 or 5.
Okay. Huh. The puppet. That's the curious thing.
Yeah. Why was it a puppet? And why did she think it was real?
Yeah. I mean, that would speak to her level of insanity.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Especially because she thought it was, you know, she knew she was going to do it, but she didn't know she was going to do it.
Do you ever break from reality? I mean, when you're awake.
In what way?
Do you ever, like, lose reality?
Like, daydream?
No. No, I mean, like, you're walking around, but it's not the same world. Like, kind of like daydreaming, but while you're doing stuff. Not just spacing out. Daydreaming while you're active.
I'm not sure what you mean. I get spacey a lot.
Yeah.
Pretty regularly. That's... part of the reason why I'm like antisocial.
Right.
I can't concentrate for too long.
Huh.
Because I go places.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a traveler's soul. That's for sure. Because that's some far off shit, man. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I mean, was it a nightmare?
Oh, it was terrifying.
Yeah.
It was absolutely horrifying. It was like watching a horror movie.
The bad emotions there?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Lots of bad shit going on.
Hmm.
Because I felt the emotions of the mother as well as the daughter.
So you had empathy in this dream. Empathy is when you feel the emotions of another person.
Oh, yeah. I have very emotional dreams, which is much different than when I'm awake.
Right.
It's crazy. I don't understand that. The dreams get very intense. Waking life stays pretty I want to say solemn, but solemn isn't the right word.
Sober?
Sober works.
I don't know. That's I don't know how to interpret that. That's wild.
And I tried looking it up a little bit, but I can't find anything except that, like, murder in dreams usually means that, you know, you want to change something about yourself or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know what exactly it would be that I would want to change. Like, well, I feel pretty good about where I am and, you know.
A lot of the times when you look up dream interpretations, they're interpreting it all as self.
Yeah.
And I don't personally believe that our inner world is disconnected from everything. So when people look at consciousness of the individual, they forget about the consciousness of the group. And I believe in a group consciousness and believe that our subconsciouses, everybody has a subconscious level and they all interact. Some of us are aware of it, most of us aren't. And unfortunately, a lot of the people who are writing the literature are not aware of that,
yeah.
because the classical training of the institutions, the schools, shuts this knowledge out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you know, we can go back to all kinds of conspiracy as far as that goes with the Roman Catholic Church and government oversight and all this kind of, like, you know, meddling with the human condition that may have gone on. But that's crazy stuff that I'm not willing to talk about right now. What I do think is, when you're looking at these dreams, you can't put it all on yourself. Sometimes you're being brought to a place and shown imagery for a reason that's outside of yourself. You know? And
that's a possibility.
If we're going to put together the pieces in the way that you've interpreted them, one of the things we could look at is the chance that something's telling you you don't need to involve yourself always. You feel like a protector. You feel like a person who's going to guide and be strong. But sometimes it's okay to be the innocent onlooker. You know, sometimes when you see a woman stabbing a child, she's just stabbing a doll.
It's okay.
When you see somebody doing something that you think is dangerous or wrong, maybe it's okay to let them do it because it's not really as bad as it seems. You know, there's no reason to stop me stabbing a doll unless I got a baby next to me.
Unless you're pretty sure it's real.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it's a child, you stop them. If you think it's a child, stop them, for sure. I'm going to agree.
Even if you're not 100% on whether it's real or not.
Yeah. But you don't need to control everything. Sometimes you can just step back and watch.
Yeah, that does kind of make sense.
Let it burn. So that brings me to my next point. I'm drinking coffee next month, motherfucker.
Are you?
No. Oh. No, I'm going to try. I'm going to try. I went 2 hours without coffee today.
Wow. You're going to try? That's brutal.
I'm going to do it. It's going to suck.
Yeah, that's the point. So the thing is, when was the last time you took a month off of coffee?
What do you mean?
Never, right?
What's that mean?
Yeah.
Middle school? Before I started drinking it?
yeah, okay. same thing with, like, drinking and smoking, right?
Yeah.
So, the best thing you can do is spend just, like, a month 100% sober, no drugs, and see what happens. Because you're going to realize a lot more about your body than you think, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I don't want to stop drinking coffee either. Coffee's awesome.
It's great.
But I haven't done a clean out in a while. I did it once, like 6 or 7 months ago for a month.
Yeah.
And first of all, it was good to get away from it. But then when I came back to it, it was awesome because I was drinking like one normal size cup of coffee,
yeah,
and feeling crazy.
Yeah.
Like how is this legal crazy, you know, when you're like, when you realize coffee's a drug.
Yeah.
Because if you drink coffee every day, it's so normal and you get so little out of it that it's not like weird anymore.
I'm banging down like 480 plus milligrams of caffeine a day right now.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I'm drinking like, in reality, at least 3 cups of coffee a day.
Yeah.
And what I can remember when I first started drinking coffee, I was working in a shop, and me and my buddy, he was working with me, and he started, he was like, hey, I got this pot of, this coffee maker, you want to just make a pot in the morning? And I was like, let's do it. So we would each drink like 3 cups of coffee in the morning, and I had no tolerance for coffee. I had never drank it before, and I can just remember doing my best to walk around without looking funny. Because it was so weird. I felt so fucked up. I was like, this is legal? And I was like, people do this every day? Little did I know that, like, most people who drink 2-3 cups a day aren't feeling the way that I was feeling then.
Yeah, no.
But I thought it was crazy.
Yeah.
And I did that for a while. I would drink until I got jittery, and then I would try to finish the cup I was on.
Yep, that was that was me. I remember French vanilla, non-dairy French vanilla creamer, the powder stuff.
Yeah.
And I was putting that in my coffee, and I was just drinking loads of this stuff, man. It was crazy how it made me feel. It was my first tweak.
Yep.
My first
tweak. Yeah, exactly.
And then somebody handed me Adderall after the coffee stopped working. They're like, hey, try this. And I tried that, and I'm like, hey, That feels like coffee. My goodness. Yeah, this that's a good idea to try and clean out.
Yeah.
And I'm down with the idea. It's just going to suck, but embrace the suck.
Well, yeah, you got to do it for the... There's a lot of reasons to do it. Number one, for your body to feel what it's like to not do any kind of drugs for a while. And not that, you know, coffee is that bad for your system, but it is a diuretic. And when you're drinking coffee, you don't think you're thirsty because you're drinking something. And it's dehydrating you to a certain degree, you know. It's not like detrimental, but it is. And what you'll end up doing is drinking a lot more water and not having that diuretic going through your body, and that'll change the way you feel a lot. And then also it's the mental toughness of saying you're going to do something and then sticking with it for a month. And then after that month, you feel fantastic when you didn't give in. So you did what you were supposed to do, and then you have a cup of coffee, and it's just so nice.
Yeah,
that's like why you do the whole thing, is at the end of it, when you get to drink that cup of coffee, and then you get all fucking twitchy and shit.
Yep.
And that's the coup de grace. Is that the right term?
That makes sense to me.
That's the best part of it.
Yeah. You know,
that's the icing on top.
Yep.
The only problem is work is going to be boring as hell without coffee.
Oh, dude, coffee's what gets me through these 12-hour shifts.
Yep.
Just coffee all day.
And I told myself I was going to start slowing down today on coffee, but there was that like half pot that was left.
No.
I just drank it all. It was going to get thrown out anyway, and that's how I made it okay.
Wow, did you heat that up on the stove burner? Yes. I saw that shit this morning. I'm like, what is he doing?
It worked. It didn't burn it.
I believe it, yeah.
That was the whole point, was to not burn it. I figured if I turned it back on the coffee maker, it would probably burn it.
Yeah.
So I just turned it on real low, put it on like 3 heat rather than, you know, 10.
So it's not a reheat, it's a 3 heat?
It's a 3 heat. Yeah, I heated it up over like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But I still used a bunch of cream because it wasn't right being old like that. However, all the caffeine settled at the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
It felt like it anyway. Yep. It was pretty...
Oh, the sediment at the bottom is the best part.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It is. It doesn't taste great, but it's somehow satisfying to drink it.
Maybe because some part of you knows what it's about to do to you.
Yeah, right. That's probably all it is.
Oh, she's getting crazy, man.
Yeah, she is.
This dog's got more energy.
You have no chill. I just ran her 2 miles as fast as I could go. And I was beat when I got home. She napped for about 10 minutes, and now she's trying to play again. And, yeah. You hear that? You hear that? This is what I deal with.
She knows. She knows when we're talking to her. It's pretty crazy.
She's pretty smart.
She is.
And she's still a puppy. She's only like 7 months old.
She's staying 7 months.
What do you mean?
She's been 7 months since I moved in. A month ago.
She was like... Oh, she might be 8 months now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to remember.
It doesn't really matter.
Think,
she's still young.
I got her in October, and she was like 6 weeks in October. So, in October, she'll be a little over a year.
There we go. That See, sounds about right.
Do you like my math?
September, she'll be a year old.
Stop
So
it.
Subtract, what, 7 from that?
Okay.
No?
That's not right.
No?
That's not right at all.
9 and 3. 6.
It should not take that long. Wow.
This is not the math show. It's at limit everything except math. That's what we are.
At limit everything except math.
Actually,
that's why I have a phone.
That was at our limit right there.
Yeah.
our limit on math is just not great. It's, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah. Always stay within your limits.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll wrap this one up. Try and go unplug an O2 sensor. See what happens.
See what happens with that.
I'll see you folks next time.